Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
Believe this is episode 159. Hope everyone's having a great week.
I feel like we've been doing episode 159 for about 3 weeks straight, Drabby.
Well, there's been some of that, Valdez. Some of that, some technical issues the last couple weeks that, yeah, you know what? We can get right into it.
We need to have a Bit Season State of the Union.
If you want to be our technical producer, write us an email.
Yeah. Apply within. We can't pay you.
Valdez lost last week's episode.
We had this touching Sarah McLachlan style eulogy for Pete Medhurst that is in the ether. And we'll never get it back.
Apologies to Pete. I know he likes ADs or he liked ADs. We had a whole 20 minutes to you, maybe more, Pete, how much we loved you, and it was deleted. I don't know what happened to it, but it was gone by the time we went in the other room to hit save on the recording.
Look, we have a new plan in place, but yes, we had technical issues. That's also not everything that's been happening as well. Look, we're having some issues with doing the show and timing of it. I know everyone loves the show, and we like that about you guys. You guys are awesome. But Bit Season is not our main jobs. And as much as we wish it was sometimes...
I don't think you can put job anywhere near Bit Season.
Because a job requires you to get paid.
It's a labor of love, a hobby.
Look... We do this, like you said, it's a labor of love. Mike from Don't Sleep has been sponsoring us since day one. this was supposed to be a way of making extra income, supplemental income. It's not necessarily going the way we thought, but we have an audience that's grown and is very loyal, and we feel beholden to produce an episode for you guys. That being said, Drab's new promotion requires some extra time and extra energy, and sometimes he's called away in the middle of a recording or in an episode, and you know, sometimes we can't put the full time and energy into what we're recording, and we feel bad. It's okay with us. We do feel bad. But you got to work with us a little bit. We're asking for some leash from you.
Just
guys.
Have a little bit of patience. It's a new time for us. Look, I did take on a new role here. There's a lot that comes with it, especially, you know, the last couple of weeks with the Commanders on a run to the Super Bowl, and I'm now the brand manager of a sports radio station. There's a lot going on. I wasn't happy last week. There was something that needed to happen. I kind of forgot about it because I was doing bit season. That wasn't a great look to start off my new position here. So there's just a couple kinks that we have to work out. And we like doing the show. Hopefully we can continue doing it, but I have no grand illusions that this is going to be, this is a show about the Junkies. It's got a limited audience where it's not going to be some big thing where it's going to be on the top of the Spotify list. All right. So if we're doing what we can,
and
we're not trying to grow the show into something. It's impossible. It's a niche podcast that we do to make each other laugh.
And that being said,
or an outlet from the show that we do with the guys, and we know you guys like it too.
Yeah, and that being said, we're kind of at I guess you could call it a crossroads, just because we want to do a show about the show, but then again, like there's only so much EB is clueless talk we can do. That's becoming our thermostat talk. Right? I mean, there's all JP kind of being stubborn. There's only so many segments that we can do about it. There's only so much psychoanalysis of the guys we can do. What we want to do is we want to do a show that expands on the Junks and on topics discussed during the entertainment page.
Yeah, or just do some of our own creative stuff that we find is interesting as well, that maybe the Junkies don't have as much interest in. So, not much has changed. Just have patience with us is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, don't get angry.
Yeah, I know. If you guys fire off tweets to us, we see them. We're doing what we can. All right. So, but thank you for listening, and hopefully this is not the. There's plenty of more bit seasons to come. That's what we're hoping. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
You know what biddies need to do. You guys need to thank Dan and Reston.
Who's Dan and Reston?
Dan and Reston. I was at a viewing and funeral on Thursday and Friday. And after the funeral, there was like a gathering for friends and family. And I met Dan from Reston, and he came up to me and he goes, what happened to bit season? Are you guys done with bit season? And I said, well, it's been hard to do. We've had a lot of tech issues. I was frustrated. And Dan said to me with a straight face, and he says, I love it. It's the best thing. I look forward to it every week, and that got me rejuvenated, Drab. So let's put a big shout out and big thanks to Dan.
So the show was canceled until Dan bumped into Valdez at a funeral.
Yeah. So he thought it was a funeral for bit season, and it wasn't. It's a revival.
Valdez, are you going to Pete Medhurst's funeral on Saturday?
I will be there. I believe it starts at 10 o'clock, is that right? 10 to 11 is like a viewing, and then there's a service after that. So I will be there.
Oh, the viewing starts at 10?
I believe so. I can double check the email. I don't have it in front of me.
I think this church is going to be so packed. EB put it out there that maybe he would just do the viewing and split,
mm-hmm.
because if the funeral is overloaded.
Oh.
But, you know, you pay your respects and then you can go home.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you're leaning?
I don't know. I mean, it's a long drive.
I was going to say.
Kind of pot committed once you get out there. But
I'm making a whole weekend of it. I'm going up to the Pete's thing and then going to go stay at my parents for the rest of the
weekend.
Where's
Davidsonville? I don't even know where that's at. Exactly.
It's in Anne Arundel County. It's kind of south of Severna Park. You know where Renditions is?
Yeah.
It's right there. Well, it's not really Mitchellville.
No.
But it's near Renditions, Anne Arundel County.
So you're staying at the Rents this weekend.
Yes. Come on.
Do they still get your childhood bedroom? What's in your childhood bedroom?
Yeah, I still have my childhood bedroom. It looks like it's...
you mean a time capsule?
Oh, yeah, yeah. A time capsule. It's stuck in time.
The same comforter, the same everything, posters on the wall?
That's changed. The rug is still the same. I still have, like, my high school clothes are, like, in my drawer. I have my
I think you can throw those out.
I have like my nudie mags underneath my bed still that haven't been discovered. I have my hiding spots for stuff when I was in high school are still haven't been touched.
You know what? Something that can make you feel good. Next time you go, when you go home this weekend, about these, why don't you break out those yearbooks? And read all the messages from all the girls that used to like you. Whenever I need a pick-me-up at home, I go back and I read the flirty messages that were in my yearbook.
I'll do that.
All right? You always forget about a couple girls, and you're like, oh, man, that girl was so cute. I blew with her. You know, I was clueless.
You want me to, you know, maybe I'll bring it in.
Do it. Absolutely. I'll bring it in.
And you can peruse it all week. You can look at all the signatures and everything. So
most likely to be a comedian, Matt Valdez.
No,
Matt Myers.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Valdez. Yeah, that's a great idea. What about I still have all my old cell phones too in there.
Cell phones. No, I don't have any of those. Why would you keep your old cell phones? You keep all your old...
Dude, my parents are pack rats, where they just keep every single thing. My mom is so scared to throw away anything. Anything.
I don't think it's for them. I think it's more for you. Like, they don't want to throw anything away that you would want to come back and like someday. Like, my parents still have my starting lineups in their house.
I know, somewhere. But I don't need a flip phone from when I was in high school and college.
Yeah,
like that's unnecessary.
All right.
I did plug it in though to see if I could like see any kind of
old text messages.
Yeah, see
from
those old text
Veronica.
Messages? Yeah. Like, yeah. So I did.
All right.
That.
Well, why don't you bring in some of that time capsule to next week's bit season, Valdez?
All right. We can go through it. We can read some of the messages and yearbook signings. I still have like yearbooks from middle school too. Not just like my senior year, high school year. Like I got it all. Like my,
I don't know if, yeah. Our middle school or elementary school yearbooks were just flimsy little paper things.
No, the high school. I mean, the high school ones are the real deal. Mm-hmm. Middle schools are kind of a little lesser quality, and the elementary schools are just like flimsy.
Did you ever have a Letterman jacket?
No, we never had those.
Your school didn't have Letterman jackets?
I don't like. When we were in high school, I think you had to order them.
Yeah.
And then they weren't just like given to you and no one really ordered them.
Oh, no, you definitely have to pay for them.
Yeah. Like,
I never got one because I didn't care. But I mean, maybe like, 25% students had them.
No.
And they'd rock them all the time.
No, it was less than I don't even think anyone wore one in high school.
Well, oh, really? That's kind of sad.
I know.
How do you tell the jocks from the squares?
Oh, trust me, it's easy. You can spot a nerd a mile away.
Actually, you know, a lot of, the people who wore the Letterman jackets the most were the marching band kids, I think, a lot of times, because you get a varsity letter for marching or theater.
Hold on, you get a letter for theater?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I did not know that. I look down on letters now.
I got my varsity letter sophomore year for tennis. I don't know. I'm still probably in a box somewhere in my house.
I actually do think we got a letter to sew onto your
jacket. Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's high school. That's what you do.
I think we still have the cap and gown.
Mm-hmm.
We still have the ropes or what are those called?
Tassel?
Cords. No, you had cords around your.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what those are called.
You had one for the National Honor Society. I had one for the Spanish Honor Society. I had one for being.
Did you get a Spanish Honor Society?
I took 6 years of Spanish.
What?
Yes,
that's the first I'm hearing of that.
I took 6 years of
Spanish. You got a big, thick tongue. You can't roll those R's. heard you. Hey, what are you talking about?
You should have seen that Spanish class. I actually took advanced placement Spanish language. I took an AP Spanish class when I was a senior.
What was your Spanish name?
Mateo. That's Matt.
I know. There was already a Mateo in the class.
Yeah.
So I got Matias. I was always Matias.
So can you imagine that class with all of those hick towny accents going, yo soy Mateo? Well, actually, I loved Spanish class because it was Senorita O'Neill was the teacher of our Spanish class.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a younger-ish teacher,
mm-hmm.
but also she was an alumnus of the University of Maryland, and she still loved the University of Maryland. So what she would do is she probably went to half of all of the conference home games that Maryland had.
Yeah.
And she would go and she would get hammer drunk at Bentley's. And by the time you went strolled in first period in the morning, she'd have that movie ready to go for you while she had her head down on the desk. That's why I always loved Spanish class.
Really?
Yes.
Did they speak English in your Spanish class?
When you got to AP, you weren't allowed to speak English.
Oh, really?
Yes. You had to speak Spanish the entire time in the class.
Day one, Spanish 101 high school, no English. Made it a bit challenging, I'm going to be honest. One of my most embarrassing things is that I had to retake Spanish at Arizona State.
You did?
Yeah. My first year or two at ASU, there were a few classes that I just was not, I was just effing around. And it was just stupid. Yeah. I regret it so much. I had to, until I locked in. But so I had to take Spanish in summer school, to retake a Spanish class. That's actually turned my life around. Because at that point, through my first 2 years at ASU, I was like borderline flunking out. Academic probation.
You were on academic probation?
Pretty much. I mean, I was literally doing nothing.
You were just enjoying
I was not applying myself. And then once I took the Spanish class in summer school, I was like, you're a total joke. Like, what are you doing? And then I got a 4.0 every semester after that for the last four semesters in summer schools.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a life change, but also in that summer school class, I will never forget our teacher, Gigi Ome, spelled home. We had salsa dancing lessons in class. Okay, now look,
that's one way to get culture.
Dude, this chick was I don't think she was Mexican. I mean, obviously a lot of Mexicans in Arizona. I think she was Puerto Rican, but very, I mean, I say this about my professor, very sexy. All right.
Wow.
You need a fine Italian sports car to drive on those curves. All right. she would dance with the students.
Oh.
And she was like, I don't know, 10 years older than us, probably early 30s.
Oh, she was grooming you.
I was 21 or whatever I was. We were all of age.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe.
She was getting a kick out of it.
Dude, but you don't understand. Like, she would dance with you, and she would loosen your hips up, then she would pair you up with the other girls in class. Who were smoke shows.
Oh.
And you would just have...
What a class!
I know. So she was a hard teacher, too. So like the first... Maybe it wasn't every day, but the final 10 minutes of class, summer school, we would have salsa dancing lessons.
Hey, was she like take your hand and put it on her hip and be like, feel me move.
She would always say don't be shy, you know, whatever in Spanish. I don't remember, but... yeah.
It was a very intoxicating summer semester, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Dame los manos.
That too many Spanish classes at ASU. So I took how many years? I guess 3 years of Spanish in high school.
Hey, hold on, real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that it's also summer school Spanish,
uh-huh.
That's how you know there's going to be smoke shows in it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because
they weren't sending their best value. A lot of retakes for those kids out there.
That's what I'm saying. You've got maybe a couple of Tridels in there.
Yeah. That was a fun summer for your old drab t-shirt going into my third year.
Demoralizing.
But you know what? Turned my life around. Then I graduated 4.5 years. Whenever I see people graduating under 4 years, I'm always like, how is that possible? It doesn't even, like,
well,
I guess you'd have to take a running start.
Did you get the
I wasn't a running start kid.
Did you get the same spiel from your parents as I did when you entered college? They said, now we have budgeted and, you know, with your scholarships and everything, you can, 4 years, you're good, but if you don't finish in 4 years, it's on you.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Yeah, and it was on me. I had to pay that penance valise. I had to pay in a semester of out-of-state tuition myself.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot of tips at Red Robin, let me tell you.
Hey, speaking of which, do you feel like I'm being too hard on our callers? Because I got some shrapnel from a plumber when I was joning on plumbers. Maybe it's not it's more of a trade than a college degreed type of profession. They're saying, well, listeners are saying that I'm being an elitist when talking about these blue collar jobs like a plumber. I'm just saying, this is not against any kind of plumbers, that a young buxom 23-year-old woman, all right, is her dream man isn't going down and snaking toilets 5 days a week. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing
that you weren't talking about. What were you talking about, though? You were talking about,
I was saying women.
We were talking about living paycheck to paycheck, though. And you go, oh, like some plumber. Broke ass plumber.
No,
weren't talking about what women find sexy.
No, I was talking about, you were saying, oh, some woman isn't looking for some dude that's like grinding. And I think a plumber's a grinder. Trust me, I know a lot of plumbers in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
I know a lot of blue collar dudes who do electrical work, HVAC work, whatever it may be. But I'm saying when younger women are trying to find an older guy, an older successful guy, being a plumber is not on their bingo card.
But why
card.
Do you always single out plumber?
Because
you and he do it. And actually,
because you're dealing you're dealing with duty.
No, that guy actually called you out. And he said, what, you think you're so great? You're just some radio producer.
I didn't say I'm some
great. Well, you were taking shots at, but you took a shot at a plumber.
Well, people can take shots at me.
And I actually was a little miffed that you hung up on that guy.
Well, we had to go. It was 57. And I got the last word, and the guy's phone was crapping out.
It wasn't 57.
What, you want me to get into a radio fight that goes? Yes, it was.
I thought it was the middle of the hour segment.
No, it was top of the hour.
I think that you got upset when the guy called out radio, or what are you, some radio producer?
Hey, I know my job isn't open heart surgery. I know that. You think I don't know I'm some sort of button pusher? You think I haven't figured that out in the 15 years I've done?
Here's what I figured out. If there's a profession to be joned on, you and EB will say it's a plumber. I don't know why.
All right,
I've heard you say that over the years.
All right,
I got nothing against plumbers. Why didn't you say electrician?
Because electricians don't deal with duty. The fact that you're dealing with duty.
I know, but we were talking about money. I said paycheck to paycheck. That's how it came up. I said women don't want some older guy, aren't going to be hooking up with some older guy if he's living paycheck to paycheck. They like men with money. And you go, yeah, like they don't want some plumber. That's what you said.
All right, fine. You know what? Here, just for you, Drabby, I'm changing it. Garbage man.
I think garbage men make pretty good money, too.
I think they do, too.
Now you're going to have guys calling us. Why don't you say like some part-time worker at Chipotle?
All right, I'll say that. A burrito wrapper.
Okay, yeah.
All right, I'll say that.
Some burrito wrapper.
All right, there you go. Does that make you all happy? Right.
Or board up. Why don't you just say board up?
I'll say board up.
Then you can't be joned on.
Look, a plumber is a funny profession because you're dealing with poop. Sorry.
The guy did say, why are you always pooping on plumbers? Yeah. He said, you opened yourself up. I don't know. How much money would it take you, Valdez, to be a plumber?
Hey, there's a lot. I'm telling you, there's a lot of successful plumbers out
there. I know this. How much money?
Well, that gives people an idea about what I make here.
I don't think anyone's under the grand illusion that you're making $200K at the radio station.
All right, what are my hours? What are my hours?
You're self-employed. I don't know. You're handyman plumber. Your specialty is plumbing. Could be 24/7. I don't know. You get the call at 3 a.m. You go plumb. I don't know.
Six figures.
Six figures?
Yeah. Really? No way, dude. That is, you're selling yourself way too short. You think the quality, you're going to stick your fingernails in duty for oh, now, just to break 100,000?
Now who's degrading plumbers? Well, you got to call them duty nails?
Well, I don't want to do I don't want to sit in a toll booth either. You would have to pay me to sit in a toll booth. You would have to pay me $250,000 a year. For me to sit 40 hours a week in a toll booth all by myself, making sure people put coins in a toll.
I'm going to tell you something. That sounds like my dream job. Am I allowed to?
I know, because you're antisocial.
No, am I allowed to listen to podcasts?
No, you have to sit there and open your window every 10 seconds.
I can't listen to music.
375. Toll booth Willie.
Hey, I could. What about bagging groceries? I could bag groceries.
No, that's a. I like. I wouldn't mind bagging groceries. You're chit chatting people all day long. New people, hot babes come in there. I'd do bagging groceries $20 an hour.
I've always said pouring beers is my dream job.
Yeah.
You know what Jack's doing to me right now? He is. He's trying to titillate me because he's in Mexico on vacation, and every day he's taking a picture of the bartender that's at his resort in Cabo, and he's saying, this is your dream job. And he's chatting him up every day, and he's making me feel like I need to move to a Marriott to go pour beers, like Tom Cruise and Cocktail. Same thing. But
yeah, I mean, would you actually consider that? Like, if somebody called you tomorrow and said, hey, Valdez, I'm a general manager of the Hilton Cabo. Our longtime outdoor pool bartender just quit after working here 17 years.
Okay.
Would you want to come down here and be my bartender to give junkies your 2 weeks notice, move to Cabo?
And hold on. What's pay?
I don't know. I don't know what you make here. I don't know what Valdez, we'll pay you. I don't even know how many pesos it would take. Valdez, we'll pay you. Well, you're going to work on tips. That's the big thing. So, you know,
What's the potential? I need to know the potential.
Here's your that's bartender's hard because this is mostly tips. All right, all in. All right, let's say I'm looking at a W-2. Our last bartender made. I mean, it's Cabo, but so I mean, it's pretty enticing.
Probably, yeah, also expensive to live there.
$90,000.
Okay.
All right, $90,000. Move to Mexico.
Hey, that's a great. You should be on the prices, right? That is a great. That's a great number.
Okay. $90,000. All right. Not going to blow your socks off, but you're not too not too poor.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, you know, probably live a good life in Cabo, but you got to live in Mexico away from all your friends and family and actually pour beers.
All right. Yeah, obviously, I can't be as creative as I am here.
Yeah, you.
Afternoon.
You
golf.
Get creative with those daiquiris.
My golf schedule is really going to take a dip.
Yeah.
Although Cabo, the resort, does have a golf course on it. Maybe I can play in the morning before my shift.
Your shift starts at 10
a.m. Okay.
10 a.m.
All right. This is what I would say.
I don't think this would be. Don't you know a lot of guys in the hotel business? Couldn't this happen for you?
Maybe. This is what I would say. All right. What does Martin Lawrence say to Luke Wilson?
You like snacks?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a federale. All right. I would tell you, Drev, I'm a federale. It's for the love of the red. The white and the green. All right. I'm going to Mexico. If you haven't seen that movie, you have no idea.
Blue Streak is the best movie ever.
Yo, go watch Blue Streak tonight. Tell me it's not funny. that's what I would do.
All right. You're gone.
Yeah, I'm gone.
Right, I think we could put that together for you.
Okay. You're just trying to get me out of here.
By the way, I was just reading something. Speaking of Mexico, I don't really have a big frame of reference. I don't think. Oh, you know, I get this a lot of weird information.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm on, like, I have, like, on Reddit, like, I'll follow, like, the, I have a Formula One, Seahawks, I can't remember, tennis, tennis porn. Okay. It's not females, it's like tennis.
I know, like a silly, oh, a forehand.
No, it's like a tennis court porn. It's like, you know, that's okay. Just the name of the, but I get all these, like, suggested stuff for me, and it's always suggested cities, like Vegas, but somehow I'm getting Cancun. Okay.
I know exactly why you're getting Cancun.
Why am I getting Cancun?
Because that's the new hot thing when your team's eliminated.
Oh, do you think because I was searching Hard Rock Cancun?
Yeah, it's because you're doing Cancun bits.
Maybe.
About teams that are eliminated from the playoffs.
Have you ever been to Cancun?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. I was in Cancun when I was 15 years old. It was a family trip.
What year was that?
Let's see, that's 2008? No.
That's
2003, 2002.
Anyways, before you tell me that, the person just said, was lamenting Cancun and talking about how in the last 10 years, now I went to Cancun 12 years ago, how it's completely fallen off the cliff and how the cartel has taken over Cancun in like the last 5 to 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And like, everyone, I didn't know this. They said everyone knows you never rent a car in Cancun.
Okay, why is that?
Like, if you want to go see the pyramids and Tulum and all that, yeah, you have to take like the bus.
Chichen Itza.
Yeah, Chichen Itza.
it's a silly bull.
Because the cops know all the rental cars. They know, and so the feds there, the federales, Val, what are they called?
Yeah. Federales.
They can spot a rental car like this, and they know you're just some dumb gringo from America.
Yeah,
and then they pull you over, and then they say they're going to put you in Mexican jail, and you got to pay them 300,000 pesos to get out. The whole thing's run by the cartel, pretty much.
Oh.
And they said, stay out of Cancun. It's changed a lot. I don't know. I don't have
do you, do you know when I was... So I was 15 and I had my learner's permit. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Cancun, I would take my learner's permit and go show it to like the guy at the door. And they would let me in. To be honest, I don't know. My parents, they might have been the worst parents in the world. They used to let me go out in Cancun by myself at 15.
Did you go to Cancun with your parents?
Yeah, it was a family trip. We stayed at a resort. And then, like, we went off the resort, like, twice, like, into the city. And then my parents used to, it was 9, 10 o'clock. They've been drinking all day. They don't want to do anything. And then so they used to say, yeah, you go do whatever you want. And they'd let me go out.
Seems a little risky for a young, smooth boy to be going out in Cancun by himself.
When I went to Cancun, I was infatuated with this Latina waitress.
She worked at the all-inclusive?
No. She worked at the Mextreme restaurant.
It's called Mextreme?
It was called Mextreme. Here, just so you know, I'm not making it up. So
it's still around? Is it like a Hooters version?
It must have been. But
what is this? Playa de Carmen?
No, Cancun. Mextreme. All right, there was this curvy Mexican waitress that was there, and I used
this
to,
place does look like a fun time.
I know, doesn't it? Uh-huh. So I would go back there every night just to go sit at the bar and have this hot chick just serve me hurricanes and pina coladas. at 15,
your parents, you were
what,
a latchkey kid?
What do you mean? I was not. But could you believe the balls on them to let me do that?
I in a foreign country, yeah. That's a little. Where were you? What did you guys just? There was no wedding. It was a destination wedding or something. You guys were down there.
No, just this was our big We went to Ocean City a lot. This was before we went to going to Hilton Head.
This was your big.
This was like our big trip that we've ever gone on.
Uh-huh.
This is like our first time out of Maryland.
Cancun's kind of nubs. Like, I just remember there were a bunch of cops with machine guns, like, all over the place at the airport on the side of the roads. I don't get sized for that.
Well, I don't remember it like that over 20 years ago.
Well, this was 2012 when I went, and I'm sure it's worse now, as per my Reddit page. But I don't like to get caught in between gang violence. Prefer no gang violence on my foreign trips.
So this was like when I first started taking Spanish class. My parents were making me talk Spanish to like everyone there. Like I was my parents.
Oh, you were the translator.
I was their translator when I was down there. Maybe that's why they let me go out by myself. But But I was.
You talk your way out of a tough situation.
but I was literally taking my learner's permit to go out and about in Cancun, and then and I was pretending I was on like 19? MTV Spring Break at 15.
All right. How did we get on Cancun?
Because it was your suggested search.
For Reddit, I know, but something made me think of Cancun before that.
All right, let's reset Valdez. We got a couple things we want to get into. I know that you are obsessed with Justin Baldoni and the drama surrounding that.
I am.
You and Mar are bonding over.
Yeah, we're trying to get you into this certain club that I just became a part of. And we'll see if you're going to jump in head first.
I call it the sucker club.
All right. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, we got to let you know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Support me. Support Drabby. Go to don'tsleepenergy.com. And when you get there, use that promo code Bitties to save 10% on every single order. Drab just left the studio to go get his sugar-free Don't Sleep Energy. Hopefully he grabs me one too. Get some today. Don'tsleepenergy.com. And remember, don't sleep. It makes you great. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 159. We tease going to break that Drab is being invited to a club that Valdez, myself, and Mike Marr are a part of. I am a new member. Marr is basically, he is the president of the club. And it all started from this past weekend. I always brag about our, remember the contest we did with Karina Delgado where all of us brought in our cologne and she smelled everyone's cologne and she picked the winner. And I was the winner. I was the winner of the Reggie contest, but I take pride in being the winner of the cologne contest.
Wait. You were the winner of the Reggie contest?
Yeah, I was the winner. I had the biggest bush.
Oh yeah, you had the biggest bush. That's the opposite of winning. No, you gave me last place.
I was the winner.
Okay, however you see it.
All right, I was the winner. Did I not win? Did I not come in first?
Okay, sure. All right.
But being the cologne king is a title that I kept near and dear to my heart. And it's all because I at the age of 16 I purchased a Abercrombie and Fitch Fierce cologne that I've had for 20 years.
I've heard you brag, as have the biddies, about the Fierce cologne.
That's right.
Many times.
Yeah, and always remember I was asked to work at Abercrombie and Fitch. Always remember that.
If you say so.
I was.
Okay.
And then it was a sad day because I ran out of Abercrombie and Fitch cologne. That was my final spray. It was months ago. And as I was getting ready to go to this viewing, I'm putting on my suit and I'm getting ready to put on some sort of scent.
You love funerals. What's going on?
What do you mean?
You're at a funeral like twice a month.
I go to a lot of funerals.
You mean he was hanging out with a lot of old guys golfing or something. Donk off all the time.
I'm an expert when it comes to viewing some funerals. What can I say?
All right.
I'll be at one on Saturday.
I know you will.
but when you put on a suit, you try to put on a cologne. At least I that's what I do. I just find it second nature. And then as I was putting on a suit, I went to go try and find my Fierce. And then I recognized that I was out of cologne.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent Saturday going to Macy's, going to the mall. All right. And I said, you know what? It's time for me to grow up.
What year is this?
What?
People still go to Macy's, go to the perfume section?
I went to the cologne section in Macy's. I decided I'm not going to wear Abercrombie anymore.
Well, are you going to act like an adult?
Yeah, I'm going to be an adult. I'm 37 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop living in the past, even though that's what we do well on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking around, and I'm approached by a saleswoman, and we go through the process of picking out a scent, and now I am a part of the Daily Cologne Club. I am wearing a scent every day. I feel like I have to for how much I paid for said cologne.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was telling Mar this, and I didn't realize that Mar is a huge cologne guy, and he welcomed me into the club with open arms, and now both of us are recruiting drab.
Wow, that's like recruiting LeBron James to play at Cal State Irvine. All right, it's probably not going to happen.
Why? What are you too good for cologne?
Well, first off, what cologne did you purchase?
Well, we went through a lot of different scents. First, I was trying on this brand called Sexual.
All right. It's always something weird.
What do you mean? I smell. She said it had pheromones in it, which was to attract other people, and I turned it down. Number one, I can't wear a cologne.
And we'd be beating off the chicks with my cologne. Sorry, lady, I can't take this.
I mean, it sounds like Anchorman. To be honest with you, I can't get cologne called Sexual.
Sex Panther.
Sex Panther.
Yeah, sorry.
And I think they're getting commissioned on it because every single person in the cologne section, the first place that they brought them to was to the Sexual section.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're getting
probably.
But I ended
big push,
up.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting a Chanel Allure Sport, an everyday cologne that cost me an arm and a leg. Chanel cologne. I am a.
Why don't you buy a manly brand?
It's very manly. Here, smell me.
I don't want to.
Why?
First off, hey, you know, if I can't smell you from here.
Well, that's too much. You're dousing yourself in cologne. You can't do that. That's rule number one about cologne.
I've been sitting 3 feet away from you all week. I haven't smelt a thing.
Well, you've also been ripping farts.
I haven't been ripping any farts.
You have.
I have not been ripping any farts this week.
You know what? If you're at the Tally-Ho on Friday and you listen to Bit Season, say, "Hey Valdez, I want to smell you, and I'll let you smell me."
First off, I'm convinced that you said something about I can't wear an old cologne, as if you're on the cutting edge of what scents
are in
2025.
No. I'm saying I can't wear a 16-year-old boy cologne. I'm not doing that. I'm not taking cologne that you spray in your car because you got friends smoking doobies. I'm not doing that anymore.
I'm convinced that if I got a $20 bottle of cologne and your 100-plus bottle, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Of course you could.
You would tell me, "Oh, this one smells so much better."
Definitely.
Definitely.
If you had,
first of all, I can't even smell you.
That's a good thing. You don't want to be over cologne. That's cardinal sin number one.
I didn't
cologne-ing.
Say over. And you literally have no scent.
Well, come closer to me. You're 5 feet away.
I've bumped into you.
Here, smell me. Come smell me. Come stand right next to me. Here, come. There, Drab's walking over. Now you're doing a lot of sniffing. You might have a sinus infection.
Maybe.
Here.
Where?
Just. No, that's my armpit. That's
an armpit.
That's my armpit. You know, come up. Yeah. You know what? Come up and smell me today. I spray it on your wrist once on your.
Smell your wrist.
Okay. Well, Drabby's walking back. You might have a sinus infection.
I smell something. It's a little. Yeah, it's a little gay.
No,
it's a little too floral, flowery for me.
Why? I need some sandalwood in there.
Yeah, like where's the musk?
You
smell like a man.
Smell like a man.
You smell
sporty. It's crisp. It's sporty. I like it.
You smell like a Victoria's Secret or something.
What do you mean a Victoria's
Secret?
I
don't know. That wasn't a manly scent.
This scent is erotic.
There was nothing erotic about it.
Powerful.
No. The opposite of powerful.
What? You want
a little... It was like a little femmy. It was a little zesty. It was a little zesty, Valdez. What kind? Who talked to you? And what was it?
The
who?
Lady. The lady. She said she buys it for her husband too. And by the way, these cologne saleswomen, they got to be making $500,000 a year because they say, I just bought that for my friend. I just bought this for my girlfriend. Yeah. I just bought that.
They're not buying anything.
And also, this might be racist.
Well, then don't say it.
No, it's not racist. I don't think it's racist, but is cologning, I'm using it as a verb, cologning. Is cologning a Middle Eastern thing?
Well, I think they've been more, they're more.
Because all of the saleswomen were Middle Eastern. Everyone shopping for a new scent was Middle Eastern. I was the only white donk
in
Macy's.
In this area, I've noticed a lot of Middle Eastern people work at department stores. So that might just be why. But
not just working there, but the people shopping for a new scent.
It's like Persian men, Arab men love cologne. That is a stereotype, I guess.
They were all over the section.
I just think that, like, why do you need to be wearing that in here?
Well, I'm just saying for the amount that I thought it was going to be a lot cheaper. And to be honest with you, for the amount that
Wasting it on Mike Maher and Matt Cahill?
Well, I'm just. I mean,
you go out all the time. You're a social guy.
I'm just saying it's my daily scent now. That's my daily thing. Heaven forbid I have some sort of hygiene.
Well, first off, that's not hygiene.
What do you mean?
Cologne isn't hygiene.
It's the same thing. Hygiene, smelling good, same thing.
Well, hygiene is cleaning.
Well, cleaning's the same thing as smelling decent.
No, well, I think we got some things to talk about. Okay, you're just covering up. Are you showering?
Yes, I'm showering.
Are you using proper hygiene, Bobby?
Yes, I'm showering.
Okay. Hygiene, brushing teeth, getting the soap down in your chode area. All right, that's hygiene. Why are you cleaning your butthole? Flossing.
Yeah, I do all that.
Okay.
Hold on. Why won't you join the club?
Well, I just
because you know what I like. I like Myanmar talking about our scents.
I know.
Now.
I don't really have a problem. Like if I'm going out, per se.
Yeah, like you're going to the appearance on Friday. You're not gonna scent up.
Probably not because that's a sausage fest. If I'm putting on a bunch of cologne to go hang out with the broskies, it's a little sus. Like, why am I doing that? Like, why am I trying to impress these guys with my scent? Doesn't make sense
to
me.
No, I'm just saying I would like a nice, crisp, distinct scent. I think that's a good thing.
It's like, would you put in, like, if you were coming here in studio, right? Would you put in a breath mint before you come in?
I mean, I brush my teeth.
No. That's hygiene.
Well, I don't really use breath mints to begin with.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, like, well, if you're going out on a date. Right? Gum or mouthwash or something like that to have a nice breath.
I would just brush my teeth. I wouldn't use gum or mouthwash. If I felt like I had.
If I was going out on a date with a woman, well, like the last thing I do before I get out of the car, put in a mint. A mint or a stick of gum or Altoid or something.
No, yeah. I don't do that. Maybe I need to add that. Maybe I start becoming a gum guy.
I'd much like that. But anyways, I wouldn't do that walking into the studio to hang out with you and Mara. I kind of put some cologne in that same, and no. I'm probably wrong.
Well, me and Marv do it, so why don't you join the club? All of us can have a scent in there.
Because you and Marv are docking with each other doesn't mean I need to join in. I mean,
we're docking.
That's your guys' thing. Well, I don't know why Marv's doing that.
We want you to join it. No, that's part of the hygiene.
I've just never been a big cologne guy. I've been confident enough in my deodorant selection that I don't need cologne. And also, I don't sweat. So I've never in my life had this urge to cover something
up. You're calling me zesty. You're a man and you don't sweat?
I don't sweat. I don't know.
I'm not a stinky, sweaty pig.
Yeah,
like you. I've seen you at the gym. It's disgusting.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
You look like you've been played on a mud football field for 4 hours. Every time I see you, you're just pouring sweat, stinky yellow armpits, all that kind of. If that's what a man is to you, that's
that's a man.
I just don't sweat a lot. I think there's
when you glisten. That's what women do. It's glisten.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't see Jaden Daniels sweating a lot. He's smooth, calm. He's a baller.
Football net players don't sweat.
I don't see Jaden Daniels sweating a lot. Do you?
You're comparing yourself to Jaden Daniels.
I am now.
All right. I guarantee you has a scent.
Probably does. He probably wears cologne.
Yeah.
It's also waste. It just seems wasteful to me. Like, I don't want to waste the cash on it. They're ripping you off.
Probably.
You know?
Trust me. When I went to go buy it, I thought it was going to be, what, like 50 bucks, 60 bucks at most.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have known when there was no price tag around anything that it's, that you're just going
to. Well, you always got to ask.
Well,
I know you didn't want to seem cheap to the sales lady. Who cares?
to the Persian sales lady.
I mean, you're not trying to negotiate with her. By the way, how much is this one? Oh, okay. Great.
You know what I should have done? I should have told her this is my budget, and I didn't tell her. That's my fault.
Yeah.
Also, they were trying to give me the biggest bottle in the world.
Well, this is what you say when someone's pressuring you to buy something.
Yeah, what do you say? Tell me.
You say, hey, this is what I always say. Can you hold this? I'm going to be back in like 20 minutes. I'm going to go eat and walk around a little bit, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to get this on the way out.
And then never come back
ever again.
What do you got? You got to walk through the mall.
I just make it seem like I don't want to carry it.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
And then I just never come back.
That's
my negotiating tip. Because I have trouble saying no.
Yeah.
Like if someone comes to my front door, I have trouble saying no. If someone's putting the full court press on me, I clam up a little bit and I give in. Mm. So my technique, which works for me, is either, why don't you come back or something like that, or I say, can you please hold on to this? I'm going to come back.
I'm still making my decision. Then they put the supercell on.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. I'm getting this. I'm definitely going to get this. I really want a Cinnabon. I'll be right back. Yeah, I don't want to carry this. And I'll be back. All right.
Now, do you have to?
No. I promise. I'll be back.
Now, do you have to go get a Auntie Anne's pretzel to walk back with?
I go sit there. Then I slip out the back door.
This is what I want Biddies to do. You see us on Friday. We're hanging around the tally ho. Come up to us. Go sniff drab. All right. Sniff drab, and then sniff me, and then see what you like better.
You know what? Here's what I will do. I will find my cologne, okay?
All right.
That is honestly 10 years old. It's been sitting in the medicine cabinet. Like, it gets about 3 sprays a year at this point. I will spray it on, and I guarantee you people will like it. And I hadn't spent $130 on it. Nobody will know what it is, but it's a hand-me-down from Oscar Santana.
I was going to say, is it Michael Jordan cologne?
No. Oscar gave it to me literally 10 years ago. And that's why these suckers are like, oh, you got to get the new scent. Nobody can tell anything.
I knew I was getting.
Do they fleece. Discount last year's scent? Is that like a big faux pas?
I'd be sliced. I knew I was getting hustled because I said, oh, that's actually I like this one the best. And then she goes, oh, that's so classic. That's what she said. Oh, you have a great, great nose. So classic and crisp.
That's what she said. Really?
Yeah. And then I go, yeah, you know what? You are right. I got a great nose.
Hey, also, you're an idiot. Why would you buy cologne a week before Valentine's Day?
Maybe the
most marked up time of the year. You big dummy. You couldn't wait 2 weeks?
That's a good point. It's a good point.
What are you doing?
It's a great point. Yeah. Great point.
Why don't you just go buy an airline ticket
on Christmas?
Yeah, Christmas. What are you doing?
Fair point.
All right, Valdez. I know you're into the Justin Baldoni
speaking
stuff.
Speaking of zesty.
Yeah. Why are you so fascinated? It's like you really want to talk about it on the show, but you know the guys don't care enough, or they're not really into Justin Baldoni. You're obsessed every day. You're like talking about going to court and the lawsuit. Perez. I've heard you say Perez Hilton like 20 times this last 2 weeks.
Remember, Perez Hilton was hot in the early 2000s. Well, he's back now because he's doing daily breakdowns of Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively.
I saw one yesterday. By the way,
He looks awful.
He looks horrible.
He looks like he's been through the ringer.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks as bad as you would think an aged Perez Hilton would look.
He's had a tough life, it looks like. I'm into this story for a lot of different reasons. Number one, in no particular order. I like the story because it's the takedown of a Hollywood power couple and Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. I'm into that aspect of it. I'm in the aspect of the power struggle between Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. I'm into the sexual tension that there seems to be between the director and actor and Blake Lively. I'm into kind of the false accusations that are going on that Baldoni is alleging from Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. I'm into all of that. It's intriguing to me. Do you find that to be boring?
No, I don't find it. First of all, I didn't have a big frame of reference on Justin Baldoni. In fact, I mean, everyone just likes saying his name. I think that's half the story here.
It is a very sexy name.
I didn't even know who he was before all this. I barely heard of the movie. But do you know that Drab T-shirt was the first one on the Junkies to defend Justin Baldoni?
No, when was this?
When the very first day this all came up, you guys were all piling on him, calling him a creep and all kinds of stuff. And I said, I put it out there. I said, I don't know anything about this guy, but I said, just because there's somebody accuses him of something, there could be other things at play that are going on that someone would say these things about him. So we need more information.
All right.
And I said, this guy,
let's wait and let all the facts come out.
Yes. And I said,
let this play out more.
I said, this guy, and I read this, I don't remember what it all is, but his history of like promoting women and like how important these causes were to him. And then it just didn't make sense. Maybe I'm an idiot that this guy would be accused of sexual harassment when he was like involved in empowering women type stuff. And now I do know that some people say, you know,
hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. Those guys are the guys that always do this kind of stuff, but, and that might be true, but I just didn't get that vibe from him.
Right.
Right. And, sure enough, he's got receipts, as the kids like to say.
That's also part of it, too.
I do like the him fact-checking Blake Lively.
And this is also why it's so intriguing to me, is because it's like she went and almost like cried wolf. And everyone kind of believes her because she's a superstar, to the point where the New York Times basically believed her without fact-checking everything they did, because Baldoni's suing the New York Times for $400 million. But can you imagine wielding that much influence that you tell a publication as big as the New York Times that this happened, and then they're not really doing their due diligence and asking the other party and fact-checking that so much that to the point they're sued $400 million.
Can I tell you what this sounds like?
Yes.
You know I'm not political.
Okay?
And you might have to bleep this out. This just seems like a right-wing bukkake. Okay? Here's everything you got going on here, all right? You got a celebrity California Hollywood couple.
Okay.
Power couple. Lying. Uh-huh. Okay. You have false reporting by the left-wing media.
Fake news.
Okay? And you also have a retort to believe all women and the Me Too movement. All
right. You're saying it's a perfect storm?
It's a perfect storm to get the zealots all worked up out there, right?
Okay.
And to like taking down Blake Lively and the golden boy, Ryan Reynolds.
So you
because
say,
everyone is in Hollywood is a creep. Don't you know that, Valdez?
Of course. The pedo ring. The Hollywood pedo ring.
Am I on to something?
You could be on to something.
Had you thought about that until now. And this, maybe there's a reason why you're so into this story.
You're saying I'm brainwashed?
You might be brainwashed, all right?
Also, I like to envision. This is what I think happened, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is from reading all these articles, watching everyone. I will say, the perverted part in me is enjoying the teardown of Blake Lively. I don't know why, but...
What about the teardown of Ryan Reynolds?
That's also part of it, too. For whatever reason, I'm enjoying their downfall. I don't know why. Call me a loser. Call me a star fucker. But I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
That's also part of the reason why I like it so much. But there was definitely an onset romance. I don't know if it was physical or not, but there was definitely some sort of connection.
Feelings were caught.
Yes. Feelings were caught. Maybe by one side more than the other, but definitely with both parties. Howard Stern always says that the movie set is intoxicating. All right. And he's what? Why are you laughing at me?
I like when you bring up Howard.
Okay. And these actors and actresses, they get so knee deep into these characters and into their feelings and feels that maybe they do start to develop.
It wouldn't
feelings.
Be the first. No, last, it would. And it's a difficult position to be in.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds left Scarlett Johansson for Blake Lively.
Because they were doing a movie together?
Or working together. Was it Brad Pitt left Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie?
Well, that was a steamy movie.
On Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I mean, it
happens.
Okay.
All right.
So you think, this is what you're getting at. You got sexy Justin Baldoni.
And he is sexy.
Okay.
And think he's not sexy.
He's a good looking guy. And you have Blake Lively in a romance together. He's also the director of the film. So he's got the power over her. And he's the lead. All right. And he's hot. And you got Blake Lively, who's catching feelings for him. And then you have stay-at-home husband Ryan Reynolds, full of rage because he's seen like... He knows something's going on. Either he saw text messages or he's hearing something or he saw something on set. And now he's trying to destroy Justin Baldoni's career.
This is what I think
because
happened.
He can't take it all out on his wife.
I think that there was a come to Jesus moment between Justin and Blake where they go, holy shit, we're like, this has gone too far. Like,
maybe he rejected her.
Yeah, that's also a possibility. And a rebuffed Blake Lively runs to Ryan Reynolds and say, hey, you know, I wasn't flirting with him. This guy's a creep. He's a creep. He's a Hollywood creep. He's the new Harvey Weinstein. And then all of a sudden you make those allegations to your husband. What do you think your powerful husband's going to do?
Ruin your life.
And how do they go about by ruining Baldoni's life? By usurping his ability for the movie. That's why Ryan Reynolds was doing rewrites. That's why Blake Lively was doing her own editing for the movie.
I know. You also been hyping up that.
I know.
Is this a love triangle or is Ryan Reynolds just trying to write this movie?
No. This is like Ryan Reynolds sees Justin Baldoni as taking Blake Lively from him. Mm-hmm. So what does he do? He cucks him and takes the movie from Justin Baldoni. Justin Baldoni is the one who had the rights to the book. So, like, Blake Lively can't go make him It Ends With Us 2 or make her own version of it. He owns the rights. So how do you take this away? Is you basically keep him on set, and then you do all the rewrites. You do all the reshoots. You do all the editing. You take him out of all the press. You don't allow him to be at the movie premiere.
Why would you want to? You know what all this press did? It tanked the movie. Why would you want to tank the movie?
That movie
did nothing. Because when it came out, there was all this drama about what a creep it was, what this guy was.
I am begging this goes to trial in 2026.
I know.
This is going to be on court TV, I'm going to be watching like it's the Johnny Depp Amber Heard.
Let's hope that it's in Fairfax, Virginia again, because the servers caught the text messages. Remember? That was the wildest thing ever. that's why the Johnny Depp trial was here, because the servers for the text messages or whatever was
were
in Fairfax. The data center.
Yes.
It was in Fairfax, so it was at the Fairfax County Courthouse.
Look, I'm such a loser. I listened to the entire 7-minute voice memo Justin Baldoni sent to Blake Lively. What?
I mean, I knew you were a loser when you told me you were consuming Perez Hilton for this scoop on this. Spill the tea.
He was. He's back. Perez is back.
Okay.
You think he's not? He's back.
All right. So more to come with the Baldoni drama.
Hey, can you imagine me? So I've been begging the junks to talk. Like, I've been begging them to
talk.
It's
too complicated.
I know it is. It's that there's so many layers.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're into it, though. I've been waiting for
somebody. I'm living vicariously through you. You're getting me excited.
Doesn't anyone like entertainment news anymore?
They like, no, not the entertainment page. The entertainment page is dead. It's the Commander's leftover segment.
No, the entertainment page is, let's promote a poll and then talk about said poll for 8 minutes. That's the entertainment page.
There's a lot of frustration from Valdez about the entertainment page. If you want an example, just listen to today's show where they did one story today. After 12 minutes of leftover overflow Commanders talk.
Let's talk about the name for another 20 minutes.
Yeah. All right, guys. Let's have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Get Bit Season back on track. We appreciate your patience and support.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I know everyone looks forward to it on Thursdays, but you know what? At this point in Bit Season's life, you may get it on Tuesday. It may happen on a Friday. Maybe on a Thursday.
We're going to try to get them out weekly, piece them together, do what we can.
They're definitely going to come out weekly.
No. Not definitely. We're trying. Just have patience.
We're definitely trying weekly. And if it comes on a Monday, a Tuesday, just be on alert.
All right, cool.
Be on alert.
All right, guys. Let's have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, that was fun. That was a fun episode.
I thought it was pretty good. Pretty good, fun. Loosen up.
No talking about the junkies in there. What's wrong with them?